Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I'm so thankful that as a 9-year-old boy that I trusted in the blood of Jesus because some preacher was called, sent, and prepared for when I was there. And the Holy Spirit used that word to convict my heart, and I was born into the family of God.
Amen.
That was one clap. If you're going to clap, everybody clap together. I believe the Word of God. I believe it's true. And I'm reminded of a little boy sitting on a park bench. He'd been to Bible school. And he was seated there waiting for his bus. And there was a professor, a learned professor, sitting next to him. And the little boy was just praising the Lord. And he was excited. And he'd stand up every now and then. He'd quote John 3:16. And he was just excited about Jesus. We could learn something from that. And so the professor finally said, "Son, why are you so excited?" That's the best I can do, sounding dignified, okay? And so the little boy, he said, "Professor," he said, "I've been to Bible school and I learned where Moses led the children out of Egypt. And they escaped Pharaoh by walking across on dry ground through the Red Sea." And the little boy just said, "Whoa, did that make you excited, Professor? Because God can still deliver." Professor, he said, "Well, son, calm down. Calm down." He said, "There's been studies that the Red Sea is only 2 inches deep in a lot of areas where the basin of the Red Sea is." And he gave a lot of dignified answers to that. He rebutted everything the little boy said about what he'd learned in Bible school. The little boy, though, after the professor got finished, he jumped up. "Woo! Praise the Lord, man." He just ran around that bench about 5 times, shouting, raising his hands in the air, praising God. And he sat down. The professor said, "Oh, I just diminished everything you talked about." And he said, "What are you so excited about?" And the little boy said, "Professor, I just realized that God may have drowned a whole army in 2 inches of water." Amen. The Bible speaks of having faith as a little child. I remember my brother, he's over at Jenkins and Wynn, and I sold cars for about 3 years. I came off the road And I would get in a slump selling cars, and I wouldn't be selling what I needed to sell. And the owner would come by. His name was Ronnie Watkins, and he would talk to me. And he'd say, "Jonathan, you remember how it felt the first day you came in and sold cars, and you just sold cars? You threw caution to the wind, and you just sold cars." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Pretend today's your first day. Just sell cars. I want you to go back and remember the first time you met Jesus. Remember that zeal you had in your heart before you worried about what so-and-so said, or are you worried about the color of the carpet, or if we're going to buy a new speaker, or if we're going to do this, or if we're going to do that. Before you worried about all the church stuff, and you were just excited that you were born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you were ready to go to heaven. That's how we need to enter church every time we come to worship. Just like we're brand new. Like a newborn baby." And when I think of that, I think of my buddy Alex. Alex, I led him to the Lord back in April of last year. And Alex was a tattooed man. He had tattoos from his wrist all the way up his neck, his back. He had a beard. He was in a biker gang. But Alex had been a friend of our families. He'd been in my home many times. He was just a child to me. And I saw kindness in this man's eyes. And I was able to communicate with Alex even up to the point where he got saved. And he ran an excavator, and one day I made sure my wife was gone, and I called Alex. I said, Alex, can you come and fill my pool in? He said, does Miss Sandra know about it? I said, no, but you let me worry about that. You just come and fill this pool in. I'm tired of paying for it. So after 22 years of owning an in-ground swimming pool, Alex brought his excavator over there and he filled in my swimming pool. Funniest picture, I had a picture for a long time. He's sitting down in my swimming pool. He said, put this on Facebook and tell them I'm in your swimming pool. But that day he was filling in my pool, Brother Cal, Alex began to ask me about Jesus and about the things of God, and I would just try my best to tell him about those things, and then I would just turn and walk away. I wouldn't try to just beat him over the head because I knew he would back off. So I just kept mentioning the things of God, and I just kept pouring into him. The day went by, and Alex left, got my pool all filled in, got it covered with gravel. Now where my pool used to be, my motorhome sits on top of it. I was traveling that weekend, and I was up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Alex, well, let me give you the story. How many have watched the show The Chosen? Anybody watch The Chosen? I love that show, and I'd gone to this pastor's home. I stayed with him. I was singing his church and speaking the next morning, and his name is Ken Hayden from Indianapolis. Just good people. And so I'd plugged my phone in. I've got a cord I can plug my phone in, and you know, you can watch TV on from my phone. I don't know how that works. I just know how to hook it up. And I got up to go to use the restroom, and all of a sudden Brother Ken said, Jonathan, there's an Alex Cook calling you. Well, you see my picture up here. You know, a lot of times when people call you, your picture comes up on their phone. Well, Alex's big mug came up on the TV, that big 65-inch plasma TV. And there he was. He had a rebel flag bandana, a beard, tatted up. He's sitting there, you know, he went. And I know that preacher was going, oh, my God, Jonathan has fell into the wrong crowd. My goodness. So I took the call, and it was Alex. He said, Mr. Wilburn, I've been thinking about what we talked about. I said, yeah, what's that, Alex? He said, will you baptize me in a creek? I said, well, Alex, I would be glad to baptize you in a creek, but I could baptize you in a creek till the bullfrogs know you by your first name, and it's not going to save you. I said, Alex, I said, I think what you're telling me is you want to be saved. Amen? You want to be saved. And the Bible says in Revelation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come, whoever. Now, this is what the Bible says. This isn't Jonathan Wilburn. This isn't Brother Cal. This isn't any person in here, and it doesn't matter what you think. It says, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost the Savior his life. It says, whoever desires, say, I desire. Whoever desires. I said, Alex, do you want to be saved? He said, more than anything in the world, Mr. Wilburn. I've got a 3-year-old girl, and he said, I want to be saved so I can tell her how I can go to heaven and be with her. I said, Alex, he said, Mr. Wilburn, I've been so miserable. I can't eat. I can't sleep since we talked over there. He said, I can't even function. It's been so bad. I said, well, that's called conviction. He said, I don't know what it's called, but I want to get rid of it. I said, Alex, are you at home? He said, yeah. I said, are you close to your couch? He said, yeah. And before I could say, you want to bow down and pray, I heard, man, them knees, big old, he's a big old boy. He hit the floor. We began to pray, and I finally stopped, and Alex still praying. He's still praying, and the more he prayed, the more he wept. You know what he said to me? He said, Mr. Wilburn, you don't know how bad I've been. And I said, well, Alex, I said, it doesn't matter how bad you've been. It's all about the grace and the mercy of a Savior who lived a perfect life so you don't have to. Yeah. Amen. Do you know God loves everybody in here the same? Right. I hate to bust anybody's bubble. But you're not walking higher than anybody else on God's love table. He loves the drunk that's passing by this church just as much as he loves the deacon that's sitting in here. He loves the addict just as much as he loves Brother Cal. And he loved Alex Cook just as much as he loved me. He said, "You know what, Mr. Wilburn? You've always looked at me different. Do you know how you treat people means something to their salvation? Yes, it does. Did you know you can draw people? The Bible says, if I be lifted up, did you know living like Christ and loving like Christ is lifting him up? And if you lift Christ up, he'll draw people. But if they never see Christ in you, they don't want what you've got. If they see what they've been getting, they don't want what you've got. They're searching for something better. So when you leave this church today, if you don't leave different than you came, what's the use? If you walk down the street tomorrow and you're not thinking about this service and the things that you retain from this service, the goodness of God, what's the use? Because what the whole idea here is, church, is for us to leave these walls energized by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, so that men might see him in us and want what we've got. If you, go ahead. You say, "Well, my brother, man, he loves to tell people about Jesus. He's loud about it. He's loud and proud about it. I love it about him. Brother Cal loves to tell people about Jesus." And a lot of times, any of you guys or gals ever play on a basketball team? Anybody? Or a football team? I know you played on some kind of team. Raise your hand. Come on. Most of us in here played on some kind of team. Did you ever play with somebody that was a super athlete? Did you ever lose a game because you were waiting for him to win it? Did you ever lose a ball game because you was waiting for that super athlete to do something? Have you ever been disappointed when you was watching the Dallas Cowboys and Emmitt Smith only got 40 yards and they lost? You know what I'm coming to, don't you? Don't ever put your pastor or other people in a church and say, "You know what? They're winning people for Jesus. I'm just going to go do what I'm doing." No, they're trying to get you ready for this church to be a magnet for Christ. If you go tell people about Jesus and they start getting saved, I can't even begin to tell you what God's going to do right here. He's already doing great things. But if you get on fire for God and get out here and begin to tell people about Jesus and live in Jesus in front of them, it's amazing what will happen right here at Second Mile. Oh, Alex, he got saved that night when we got down to the end of that prayer. He said, "Mr. Wilburn, I feel like a newborn baby." That's what he said. Little did we know, the 1st of January, I got a call from my daughter and she said, "Daddy, run to the hospital. Alex, they found him on his excavator and he's unresponsive." 30 years old. I ran to the emergency room, met with his family outside the doors there, and was only there a few minutes. They came out and said Alex was gone. He died of a massive heart attack right there, sitting on his excavator. I was tore up, I'll be honest with you. So were a lot of other people. I called my son-in-law. I said, "Taylor," and this is a good friend. I said, "Taylor, Alex is gone." And now Taylor is a no-nonsense country boy from the mountains of North Alabama. And he just says what he means and means what he says. And there's not a whole lot of fluff about him. I love it about him. And he didn't say a word. I didn't hear him cry. He went, "Well, I bet he's glad he made that call." I bet he's glad he made that call. God's laid a song on my heart this morning that Bill Gaither, I started talking about Bill, and then he laid this song on my heart. And because the cross of Calvary has made a difference in our lives, we have a hope of heaven. Yeah. Andrew, come to the piano. I want to ask you this morning, where are you? Where do you stand with Jesus? Are you born again? If you're born again, say amen.
Amen.
If you're going to clap, clap. Now, if you clap one time, come on. If you're born again, say amen. Clap. Whistle. I mean, I go ahead, do it again. Do it like the Tennessee Vols just won a championship. Because, buddy, that's something. You say, well, you're getting a little rowdy. If Jesus dying on an old rugged cross doesn't excite you more than a football game, something's wrong. I love football. I love it. I do. I love the gamesmanship of it. I love the sport of football. But there's nothing compares to this. As my dad used to say, this is our ball game, Bubba. This is our ball game. As I came home that day from the emergency room and I went by where Alex had passed away, I wanted to check on his equipment because, you know, there's sorry scoundrels out there that will rob you when they find out something like that happens. When I went by there, there was his big truck, big old Dodge. There was that excavator where he set that bucket down. And as I was pulling away from that scene, after I checked everything out, God spoke to me and said, there's a last time for everything, Jonathan. Let that ring in your ear like it did mine. I got to thinking about some of the sentimental things. I've got 4 grandchildren. If we'd had grandchildren first, our children would have never seen the light of day. Ain't that right, Bubba? There'll be a last time. I love them coming in and picking them up and looking them in the eye and tell them I love them. Love hearing them run through the front door yelling my name. Sometimes I go hide in the back bedroom just so I can hear them yell my name. That may be selfish, but you're just going to have to put up with that. I'm human. I like to hear it. I'd rather hear them call my name than 10,000 ovations. Can you imagine how our Heavenly Father loves to hear His name.
Yes.
Went home when it came this last snow. I love going home. I know how it is in Tennessee. When it snows, a big snow, it's like a holiday. Yeah. We call everything off, stay home, eat soup, and go sledding. Throw snowballs, watch movies, and get a fire going, you know. Amen. I love it. My grandchildren had never seen a big snow. And we live in Alabama. They started calling for it. I said, I called, I arranged it. I got them out of school down there. I mean, a snow in Tennessee got my grandchildren out of school up down in Alabama. I got them out of school a day. We got an old pickup truck. We ran up to Tennessee and big snow came. Boy, we had a big time. We were around Mama's table. She cooked a big dinner. And I was about to just say grace. God, thank you for this food. And Mom said, you care if I say the blessing, honey? I said, no, Mama. Boy, my mama prayed the sweetest prayer you've ever heard in your life. Yeah. As she prayed, I said, there'll be a last time I hear that. I love going to the beach and seeing a beautiful sunrise and a sunset in the mountains. There'll be a last time I get to do that. This morning before I came in here, I prayed with my wife. My wife's having a lot of pain in her neck and back, and she's never had anything like that. Jay knows she's healthy as a horse, and it's really bothering her. She's going through a lot of struggle with her health. Y'all pray for her. But before we got off, I prayed with her, and I told her I love you. There'll be a last time I get to tell her I love her. Any of you guys ever played football? I remember when I was a freshman, the coach said, one day when you're a senior and you walk off this field for the last time, you wish you gave it everything you had. I remember the last time I walked off that football field. Coach Gary Rankin, winningest coach in the state of Tennessee ever. He was 0-10 when I was a freshman. We went to the state semifinals when I was a senior. And now Gary Rankin has won 17 state championships. But there was a last time. And there'll be a last time for him. There'll be a last time I do what I love to do, and that is to sing the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell folks about Jesus. And then outside of the sentimental things, let me get your attention. If you've not listened to anything I've said, there'll be a last time you walk through the doors of this church. There'll be the last time you hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ come into this earth full of hate and anger and sin, and he died for sinful men like you and me so we could go free. There'll be a last altar call, and there'll be a last song for you and for me. Death is sure. It's coming to us all.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Am I completely wrong to ask Jesus to take me now? Am I wrong? I'm ready. Am I wrong to ask him to take me?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I do not think you're wrong, but I do believe this. Listen to me very carefully. His love toward us is never ending, and his faithfulness to us is never ending. But our faithfulness to him sometimes is hindered. It's hindered through this life's struggles, through pain, through health. And that's when we as a church are together around those that are hurting. And the pain of this world and the pain of this life is getting so strong. We are to be faithful to one another, to lift them in prayer. And I think right now, church, we need to gather around this man and ask God to give him the courage to make it through another day. Gracie Appleton, everyone that will. This is a brother in Christ. This is someone in need of assurance that his life still means something. Just like Caleb in the Bible, God assured him that he was stronger at 85 than he was when he was 40. Gracie Appleton, y'all pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another opportunity. We want to lift this man up. God, he's downtrodden. He's hurting. Lord, he feels like his life is ended. But God, you only hold death and life in your hand. And God, we trust you with that, and we have faith that you know the best for us. And God, we trust you as we pray this morning and we call upon your name, Heavenly Father, that you will send down encouragement. You will send down power. You'll send down the things that will encourage the heart of Gracie Appleton this morning. Lord, give him strength to go on. God, give him strength to tell people about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I do believe there's hope. I still believe there's a purpose for every life in the sound of my voice that has been born into the family of God. And God, help us, even when we don't see the end, we don't see the reasoning. God, we trust you through your word and through prayer that you know all things. You know what's best for us, and help us to be faithful to you and to look to you for that guidance until you close the door, Heavenly Father. We love you, O God. I thank you for this Second Mile Church. I thank you for the men and women of prayer that go here. Now, God, help us to encourage this man. Help us to keep lifting him up, not just today, but on an everyday basis, God. Help us to lift him up in prayer and to love on him and let him know that the church loves him, but more than anything, you love him, O God. These things we pray in the precious name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. Amen. Continue to play, Brother Andrew. Hold on. Brother Gracie, we're going to continue to pray for you, God, for you, brother, that God will give you the strength that you need. Isn't it good? Isn't it good that the church can come together and stand against doubt and fear? That's an attack of Satan. We can stand against doubt and fear through our prayers and through just being the body of Christ and loving on one another. One day there's going to be the last altar call. I want to ask you this morning, where do you stand with Jesus? Do you know Him in the free pardon of sin? Do you know that you know that you know that if tonight was your last night on this earth, that you would go to heaven? I'm glad I know that, because July the 17th, 1977, I asked the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into my heart and He saved me. I'm thankful I know that. Now you say, Jonathan, I'm saved. I don't need to go to the altar. Really? I gave an altar call one morning and there was a big crowd at a big event, and a guy came to me at the table. He said, Jonathan, I'd have came to the altar, but I don't want anybody to think there's something wrong with me. You know, we laugh at that, but there's a lot of people that way. They feel ashamed or bashful. Let me tell you something. I got him over behind my table and I said, just stand here and watch the people go out with me, and some bought CDs and whatnot. And he finally said, why am I standing here? I said, I just want you to see every person. Finally, he said, why did you want me to see every person? I said, because every person here has something wrong. Gracie Appleton this morning had the courage to stand and say, listen, my faith is weak. I need help. That's basically what he was saying. Right here is a good place to get help. The Bible says, keep your lamps all trimmed and burning. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time with me. Come on, stand up. I've asked this sweet man right here, Brother Andrew, because you see, this morning we need some chains to be broken. We need somebody this morning, as soon as Andrew starts singing, to say, you know, I'm not going to wait and see if somebody else goes to the altar, because God's knocking on your heart right now. If you want to be saved, come to Jesus. If you have things in your life, and I want to make a plea to you grandmas and grandpas. When is the last time you got in this altar and asked Jesus Christ to save your grandchildren and to convict your family? As soon as Andrew begins to sing, I want you to step out. If you're lost or if you just need a touch from God, and this altar is open, people are going to be praying and touching the throne of God for help. We need it, don't we? If we've ever needed it, we need it now. We need it today, because the signs of the times are very clear. This thing is winding down. As soon as Andrew speaks those first words, I don't want you to put it off. I want you to come just as you are. Hey, can I get a praise to Jesus Christ this morning for working and breaking chains in church in Clarksville, Tennessee this morning? Come on, let me hear from you. Isn't it good? There's a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, and I'm glad that I've experienced that this morning. It's freedom. It will break the chains of this life and set your feet on the right path. God bless you. I love you.
Y'all be seated for just a minute. Father, bless the givers and bless the giving. Thank you for sending Jonathan our way this morning. And Lord, as he heads out to Kenwood, oh God, the same Spirit that's here with him and here with us, would you send your wonderful Spirit out there? God, that men and women and boys and girls might be moved by the Spirit of Almighty God. This is what the church needs today. Lord, a lot of our folks needed this today. I know Pam and Tad Ketch are watching this morning. Thank you for that new kidney that you gave Tad this week. And thank you for Katie's sacrifice and giving up a kidney. And then, Lord, there's others like the Hills have had to say goodbye to a loved one this week. And there's just so many things. Today has been good. And so as we give, God, would you bless one more time today? In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.